College Athletics. Snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
I always appreciate Edward because he expands my musical horizons.
That's a pretty nice intro there.
Well, we let Edward choose his own music. And last year, he had a good song. And then he comes back with this one. And I said, what do you want for this year? And he sends me Gorgeous by Kanye West. And I'm like, wait a second. Come on, man. But it is a good tune. Edward, welcome back. How are you?
That's a great album, too. That and the College Dropout, it's tough to say one or two for him.
I was reading some reviews on the album, and it is getting rave reviews, especially this song. And I do like it. I actually read through the lyrics this morning to make sure that I didn't miss any swear words. And actually, there's not too much in there on this particular song. But I do like me
pretty
some
good.
Kanye. This is good stuff. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm a little better. Still not 100%, so we'll see. Coach says I'm a game-time decision for Saturday night.
What's wrong with you? You have a summer cold?
A little cold, yeah, I know. Yeah. All summer I'm fine, and then the week before, this thing just won't go away.
You know, they're going around. My wife has had it terrible. She had to finally go get a shot. My oldest has had it. My youngest has it. There's a couple people at the local ABC affiliate that do news and weather for us that have had it. I can tell by their voice work. So, yeah, I guess it is the season, but we're all going to bounce through because you know what? It's showtime, my man. We're on the UCA campus today, and we're going to watch the Central Arkansas Bears get it on tonight. And, of course, we've got SEC football tonight in a couple of games. So, we are finally here, so let's talk about it. We got Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, and as we've been talking about the last few weeks, this is such a key matchup for these teams. A, it's a conference game, and B, these are teams that are battling for respect in their given divisions.
Yeah, and I think that the big thing for Vanderbilt, and obviously, you know, I was there last week, wrote a piece about how this team is focusing despite all the distractions. You have the ongoing rape case. With the four ex players, you know, Chris Boyd not going to play, still suspended. They're still trying to figure out, you know, if he's going to be part of this team this season. Do they have the horses behind Jordan Matthews, in Jonathan Krause, in some of those younger guys, Jordan Cunningham, to have an elite receiving core without Boyd if he can't play this season? And then obviously the expectations. I mean, this is a team that has never had these sort of expectations before. Mm-hmm. People are looking at Vanderbilt and saying, okay, yeah, they can win eight games. Can they win nine? Can they win 10? And when you talk to coaches around there, they still seem kind of like, well, we're just trying to be Ole Miss. So do any of those distractions from the offseason affect this team? And for Ole Miss, it's all about the fourth quarter. This is a team that gave up three wins last year possibly. I mean, the LSU game back and forth, so not quite sure if they win that one, but they blow a 6-point lead to Texas or to Vanderbilt last year in the fourth quarter. Led 23-6 early in the third quarter. They lose to Texas A&M after having a 10-point lead. So, does this team have the horses to get through four quarters? They're going to be jacked up. They need this win going into the season because I think it helps them a lot with momentum. And the same thing for Vanderbilt. Now, Ole Miss's schedule is tougher, so I think this is a bigger win. As far as getting back to seven, maybe eight wins. But for Vandy, if they want to take that next step, if they want to be a team that legitimately can compete in the East, this is the way to go. You got to win games like this.
Well, you're breaking a new quarterback for them, so I mean, they've got some disadvantages, and you lose the leading rusher in school history. What did you see in the spring and the fall camp, if anything, on Austin Carter Samuels? We were talking about hyphenated players. Got a great name, this guy.
Yeah, the thing about him is he's probably not the athlete that Jordan Rodgers was. He's probably not the athlete of any of those other quarterbacks on the roster, but he has an arm. I got to watch him in practice last week, and he's extremely accurate, really, really strong cannon. He's someone, you know, I talked to Jordan Matthews, and he said he's going to get the ball down the field, and that's not to take anything away from Jordan Rodgers, but he's someone who's going to be able to throw that deep ball, throw the tough ball in traffic, and that's just something they didn't really have. But if the pocket collapses, can he make plays with his legs? I'm not sure he can like Jordan Rodgers did, but I think that they're more confident in opening up the playbook as far as throwing the ball with Austin back there.
Yeah, they've got, you know, I was looking through the numbers too here, Edward. Jordan Matthews had a filthy year last year. I had no idea how big his numbers were. 94 catches, 1,300-plus yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean, that is that's video game numbers.
Yeah, and I think that he's someone who could have left early last year and been a pretty high pick in the NFL draft. But the thing that really stuck out to me when I got to watch him behind the scenes, going to meeting, in practice, he studies the game. I mean, when you're a good wide receiver, sometimes you can just watch film and study things and say, okay, I've got it. He talks to everybody. I mean, he's someone who's taking notes. He's looking over guys. He was constantly in Austin's gear saying, hey, look at this. Look at how this Ole Miss safety does this. Look at how they do this. They bring this kind of pressure. I mean, he knows the game. He knows where he's supposed to be. He knows where everybody on the field is supposed to be. He knows where everybody on the defense is supposed to be. So not only is he a physical freak, is he a big home run hitter, which I don't think a lot of people know, but he's extremely smart. He has great instincts. He is a student of the game, and I think eventually he's going to be a teacher of the game. He's that good.
Yeah. Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger, joining us in the zone. And, you know, again, looking through Vanderbilt, they had a lot of success last year, won a one-point victory over Ole Miss, so certainly Ole Miss looking for a little bit of payback. And the other game with SEC implications tonight, of course, South Carolina, North Carolina. It's a pretty hefty line in this game. What are you looking for from South Carolina other than, you know, Jadeveon Clowney is always a storyline, but maybe offensively, what are you looking for on that side of the ball?
I want to see how the receivers do, and it's going to be tough. You know, Bruce Ellington's dealing with that hamstring issue, but this is, in a weird way, it's a perfect opportunity for those younger guys. I think Shaq Rowland is someone who could be a really special player. He had all the tools last year, but when you talk to people there, his hype and his head got in front of him, and he didn't really know how to respond to it last year, and that really hurt him on the field. Didn't catch a lot of passes, and he was someone who I thought could make an immediate impact, especially when your top receivers coming back are Bruce Ellington and Ace Sanders. Now, Ace Sanders and Bruce Ellington had great seasons last year for what they were asked to do. Now Bruce is the guy. He's injured. Can some of those younger guys step up? Jameer Bird is someone else. The coaches love his breakaway speed, but he just hasn't been able to put it all together. This is a chance for him to be a more complete player this season. But I really want to see what Shaq Rowland can do. He's on the stage. Everybody's going to be watching. Coach Berger has really been talking about him and talking him up lately. So this is his chance. If he wants to take his game to the next level and not just be looked at as another guy who lost out on the hype, I think it starts now. And he doesn't have to have a 9-catch 120-yard, 3-touchdown game, but he's got to show that he can be used a lot in that offense and that he can be a potent weapon.
You expect this game to be competitive at all, or you think South Carolina covers the number? I think it's 12.5.
I think my pick was 31-17. I like what the offense can do. I think Mike Davis is going to be an extremely good player when it comes to pounding the ball, being kind of a breakout guy. I mean, he carried the ball twice in the spring game. I think 45 yards, and one of those was a 25-yard touchdown. So he's got all the tools, and he got to learn from Marcus Lattimore. He got to sit there and learn from one of the best running backs that we've seen in the SEC. But I think that defensive line is too much. And I know there are issues at linebacker and in the secondary, but it definitely comes down to that defensive line. And I'm pretty sure two redshirt freshmen are starting for North Carolina's offensive line. That's not good. And when you're facing the best defensive line in the SEC with probably the best player in the country who is looking to make a point, he still thinks he hasn't played his best, that's not good. I don't think North Carolina is going to put up much of a fight in the second half.
Arkansas, unfortunately, could get challenged at home this weekend. It is the start of the Brett Bielema era. There's been a lot of hype. He has become a media darling. Now it's time to show up and get the job done against what is a very talented Louisiana team. How much of a struggle, if at all, do you expect Arkansas to have at home this weekend?
I think you'll see more hiccups than anything. You know, I wrote in my prediction, Arkansas still has more talent. There are a lot of questions. There are injuries on both sides of the ball. But when you look at that defensive line, when you look at the running backs, I think this is a team that's going to be able to kind of grind this one out. And it might sound bad because, obviously, the opponent isn't an SEC team. But it's no slouch. I think that Arkansas is going to struggle, because those players that Bielema wants for his system just aren't totally there yet. But it's a work in progress. You know, I think Jonathan Williams is a guy that everybody's talking about inside the program. I know a lot of people love Alex Collins, and it's funny. I talked to Coach Bielema this week, or last week, and asked him about the running back situation. He's like, listen, know, Jonathan Williams is the guy. He's the starter. I know Alex Collins has done really well, or he did really well in high school, and everybody's pumping him up, but you know, he's the backup. They're going to use both those guys, and they hope that they can use them kind of like what Alabama does, what Georgia does. But I think they're going to be able to run the ball on this team. I don't see them scoring a lot of points. I know that you know, they're pretty excited to get out there and see what Brandon Allen can do, but when the receivers are hit like they have been, I think this is good. You're going to see more of a run-first style, and that's obviously what Bielema wants to do. But I think you're going to see that even more for the first week. Kind of get everybody out there and moving around and see what they kind of look like.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com, joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline. A couple high-profile games on Saturday for the SEC. Georgia, Clemson, LSU, TCU. You going SEC in those two matchups?
I'm going LSU. I think that LSU's defense is going to be too much. It's too fast. It's too athletic. And they have a chip on their shoulder. Last night I was at the College Football Hall of Fame dinner for the inductions, and Desmond Howard and I think he reads the blog because he was saying some stuff about LSU that I totally agree with that I've said. I think it's the most undervalued team in the SEC. I think that offense is going to be potent. Bringing back Jeremy Hill. Is he going to play this weekend? We don't know, but I still think with Alfred Blue, Kenny Hilliard, that offensive line, Mettenberger improving the way that he has since the month of November, all those receivers coming back, they're going to score some points. And defensively, I like that line. I know they lost a lot of starters, but Anthony Johnson's a first-round pick. Jamari Erasco could be an eventual first-round pick. Ego Ferguson, he's someone who has yet to live up to the potential, but he's had to sit behind guys just like Johnson. I think they're going to be fine up front. I think they're going to be fine at linebacker. They've got some questions in the secondary, but two solid corners coming back. I think Craig Lawson is one of the best safeties in the country. So LSU's defense is going to be fine, I think. You'll see some growing pains, but I think they handle TCU. I've got Clemson beating Georgia, and if this were played in Athens, I would take Georgia all day, wouldn't even think about it. But you're talking about a young defense going into Death Valley, the ACC Death Valley, and I just think that with some of the nagging injuries, with this defense being so young, going to be wide-eyed against a team that could play for a national championship, that can throw and run the ball as well as it can, I think you're going to see some hesitation at times. And I think late in the game, it's going to cost them. If they had more veterans playing all around, I don't think they have that issue. But the defensive line, we still don't know what we're going to get out of that. I think the linebackers are going to be okay, but Jordan Jenkins, generate enough pressure on Taj Boyd to really hurt that passing game. I don't know. And Sammy Watkins, I don't know who can cover him on that team. So is Trey Matthews going to be healthy enough? I think Clemson wins this one late. Home field advantage helps him out. I think it's at 34-31.
All right, last but not least, have to ask about Manziel. I heard them teasing the fact you were coming up on ESPN Radio last night. I was getting home after about a 15-hour day, so I didn't get a chance to stay in the car. And listen, but a half-game suspension, I think it raised some eyebrows for people, whether they thought he should be suspended or not. I don't know that anybody walked away satisfied here except for maybe Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I mean, Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel are the biggest winners. And college football is a winner as well because it gets to see Johnny Manziel. But the NCAA just really dropped the ball. And whether or not, I mean, if there really was no evidence to say that Johnny Manziel took money, then why even suspend him? I think suspending him makes the NCAA look even worse. And obviously you're going to have people out there who are going to say, well, he signed, you know, 4,000 pieces of memorabilia and wasn't paid for it. I mean, who does that? It's going to be tough. If there's no paper trail, the NCAA doesn't have anything. And that's the bottom line. I mean, if there is no hard evidence, there's nothing the NCAA can do. It can't look at media reports and go off any of that. It has to do its own private internal investigation. And it came up with nothing. Whatever was said in those 6 hours with Johnny Manziel is all the NCAA apparently needed to hear. But I think the biggest thing is the half-game suspension. No, there is no point in even suspending him. I think that just makes everybody, you know, I think it kind of makes people on the outside look dumb. I mean, what are fans supposed to take out of that? What is anybody supposed to take out of that by being suspended for a half against Rice? I mean, now he's rested up to play in the second half against Rice when they probably weren't going to play him in the second half anyway if he played in the first half.
Yeah, no, that was my deal. It's like, if you sit down and go, what's the dumbest thing they could do? A half-game suspension would be it. I mean, that would be the dumbest thing they could possibly come up with, and that's what they did. But leave it to the NCAA. God bless them. Or as we say in the South, bless their heart. Bless their heart, the NCAA, you're just so dumb. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, so be it. I'm excited he's playing. I'm going to get a chance to see Arkansas and A&M in Fayetteville in a few weeks, and I'm thrilled that he's playing, and hopefully Arkansas can win in spite of his presence, because it'll be a lot more fun beating A&M with him than it would be without him. Not that I'm going to bet a whole bunch of money on Arkansas to do so. But
just glad that he can play, that everybody can play now, that we don't even have to talk about it anymore. But I'm sure it'll come up.
Once they're up, they'll be up 50 by the end of the third quarter this weekend, so we can assess his performance, I guess, on one quarter of play next week when we get you on. But, man, appreciate the time. It's finally here, thank goodness. I know we'll all be busy tonight, but appreciate the time, Edward. We'll catch up next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com SEC blogger.